I wanted to talk a little about Kanya and Anita this morning. It's been so nice here. I feel like there's a lot of warm feeling for each other, and a lot of you already know each other, so it's kind of nice. But when I was a Mahayana nun, I was a nun for a year in Florida. It was like 2010, at a Vietnamese place. And there was only one monk who was supposed to be my teacher, and he was traveling most of the time. He wasn't there. And then one nun who ordained really late in life, like mid-60s, and she was kind of young in the robes still, so it was just the two of us most of the time. And I had to ordain there because it was the only place my mom would allow me to. You have to get your parents' permission. And this place, like, her friends had started the monastery, so she knew that she could have a lot of contact with me whenever she wanted, so. It was basically like a culturally Buddhist kind of place. It's like a Pure Land Chan mix, so lots of chanting, some meditation, but not very much encouragement. It was more devotional, trying to get to the Pure Land after you die kind of goals, and, you know, Buddhist festivals and things like that there. So I wasn't really Vietnamese enough for the people there, I think. I'm half and half, and so, and, you know, born and raised here, so it was like expectations were not fitting, not matching up for me. And there was also weird kind of dynamics and interactions with just the two other monastics, so for a lot of reasons it wasn't working out. And I got kind of like strong depressive kind of feelings, like kind of feeling stunted spiritually, like I couldn't have the meditation, and there weren't other monastics or even lay people that were kind of peers for camaraderie, and also people further along who kind of could ask questions and really have a relationship where they would know me and know how to help me. So I really got saved by YouTube. John Omaro and Ajahn Jayasaro. And so back in 2010, that was mostly what I was finding for Western teachers. And I really liked the clarity and the simplicity and the depth that I could feel coming from them. And it also really helped that it was Westerners. I didn't have to try to understand a different language or understand cultural context so much. Vietnamese is close enough to Thai that I had some background if they'd said things that seemed a little bit more understandable if you're Asian, so that was nice. But yeah, so I disrobed and moved to be next to Abhayagiri. Most of you probably have heard of, at least. And I would kind of like all the morning and evening pujas and all the teachings and all the events, and I'd be around all the time, and a lot of the monks that I lived there all the time, and I didn't. But I was just kind of there while I was working to save up for monastery shopping for another place to stay as a Theravada nun. And it was really, really inspiring for me to see all the dedicated monks who were really, really diligent. And you could tell that they were really working with their stuff and the way they would interact with each other and with the lay people. It was just so inspiring and beautiful. And I was like, yeah! And the lay people, too, were also very serious about practice and really devoted to the Dhamma and really devoted to the Sangha. The generosity there was amazing, and you could see them coming for all the right reasons. Like, they'd come and ask questions about their lives and how to practice, and it was just great. So, and the monks, too, like, the ones teaching, usually, they had all been monks for at least 10 years. And they had all the support from their teachers and the lay people taking care of everything. And, like, you could tell that they had so much time for retreat and inner work and practice and all that experience from living the monastic life that really, really, like, a really pure, really good one. They were very disciplined in a good way, not in a harsh kind of I'm better than everyone kind of way that you kind of get the feeling that some places it's more kind of strict in a not easy kind of way. So I found it really inspiring, and it really helped me keep going on the monastic path. So, yeah. And it helped me, it was a really good encouragement to turn towards my own conditioning and patterns and really see through that, to have that example from them and have other good people to talk to about our own wiring and kind of getting together at non-formal times and discussing stuff was really, really supportive. And it felt like the Dhamma was pushing me towards looking at not self. It was like a persistent kind of relentless pushing me. And I didn't really have to try to figure out what to do in my practice. It was always really clear because of the surroundings kind of encouraging that any of those sticky bits in ourselves to come to the surface. So I kind of feel a lot of that here now with all of you. There's this good energy. You can tell you've been practicing a long time, some of you, and some of you less time, but really serious about it, really wanting to look and kind of free yourselves. So it's also the same kind of inspiration I'm feeling here too. And I mean, I think a lot of us are kind of tired this morning, a lot of empty seats, and I probably would have been sleeping too if I could. Yeah, but and here we all are, we all showed up anyway. And I think that's pretty inspiring too. The collective diligence is very supportive, so thanks for coming. And yeah, talking about the diligence and Kalyanamitta makes me think of the Kalyanamitta Sutta. You've all probably heard where the Buddha's reflecting on a conversation he had with Venerable Ananda about, Ananda says, oh, you know, I think good friends and companions and associates are half of the holy life and our spiritual life. And the Buddha says, no, it's the whole of the holy life. And that's usually where that's like the end of what you hear. Like, oh yeah, spiritual friendship. But then the Buddha says that someone who has those good friends is going to, you can expect them to be able to develop the Noble Eightfold Path fully with that kind of encouragement. And then he's talking to King Pasenadi in this sutta. He says that when you have those good friends, you live supported by one thing, and that's diligence and skillful qualities. So he's talking to the king, and he's saying that the people in your life, your servants and your ministers and your ladies and your subjects, they're going to be able to look at you and say, oh, look, the king is being so diligent in developing good qualities. We should do it too. It's very inspiring. Let's go be like him. And it's a good sort of, it provides protection. It's kind of a, yeah, it makes you more trustworthy and upright. You can trust yourself and other people can trust you too. So there's like a lot of sense of safety in that diligence. And I kind of think that's all I have, so onward with diligence. On your good companions.